My name is Joseph Pont. I'm the commissioner for the Maine Department of Corrections.
We had about 132 inmates in segregation prior to this change and waiting list to put people in. We're running average of 40 to 50 inmates in segregation, which allows us to keep about 80 segregation cells closed. So it's allowed us to reduce staffing costs at this facility substantially. I think we really work to define dangerousness. So if you're a danger to yourself and others, you can be placed in segregation. The things that we did different is that we have a very sharp definition of truly dangerous. So if you get caught with drugs inside the prison, that you're not a true danger. We can do other things to manage you in population if you're dealing drugs than to put you in segregation. And all the informal disciplines the inmates have to agree to, so it's not an imposed sanction. The inmate has to agree. So it could be a loss of rec. It could be a loss of commissary. It could be cell restriction for a number of days. So it's all, you know, the kinds of things that an inmate really looks forward to that, you know, by losing those, hopefully you're going to get their attention. My conversation with inmates is that, you know, they need to, I'll give them as much freedom and responsibility as they show me they can handle. And part of this is a two-sided coin that so long as they respect the process, they respect staff, you know, go by the rules, this process can continue. Because we always have the other option, and we always go back to locking people up, even though that, you know, that is really proven to be less effective. It used to be typically in most states a captain can put somebody in segregation. In Maine, it has to be only the warden can approve that placement. And after 3 days, if they're not released, then only the commissioner can approve an inmate staying beyond 3 days. When we looked at it here, you know, what kind of didn't make any sense, and I think history bears this out, that people don't really respond to the fact that you could possibly be punished, and that's been traditionally the history in corrections. So even when we used segregation in a different way, we take an inmate who commits an infraction, we put him in segregation, he does an amount of time, it could be, you know, 30 days, 6 months, whatever, put him back in population. We never attempted to figure out why is he doing this, what kind of issues are behavior issues that he's dealing with, and what kind of programming can we put him through in order to not repeat that behavior. Now, you know, we have specific programming in segregation to address those kinds of issues that the inmate's demonstrating in population. It could be dangerousness, it could be anger management. There are several things that we attempt to address in programming while he's in seg before we put him back out, rather than just doing a series of time, be it weeks or months, and then putting him back in population, like somehow, you know, we've corrected the behavior, whatever that behavior was. We knew going into this that you know, some of the pushback would be, you know, there's more problems or there's more, you know, more assaults or more incidents as a result of these changes. And the incidents at every site, no one's gotten worse. Some have gotten better. So the changes have actually been more positive, some kind of neutral, where it hasn't really changed one way or the other with these changes. So no one can really say, you know, that these changes somehow cause harm or there's more problems in the populations. It's the highest cost bed for most agencies, surely for Maine. And that's kind of what really drives a lot of us to these answering these very difficult questions, is it's a very high cost resource, and could we use those monies and resources in another way to be more cost effective? So it really asks the question, is it really necessary? And is it necessary at the level of current use? And I think when you look critically at it, and we did here, the answer is clearly we don't need these kinds of numbers of inmates in these kinds of high security settings, you know, and we can better prepare them for release, because, you know, 98% of our inmates are getting out